God's Christmas list. We focused on this past Sunday on the candle of love. The candle of love, which is represented by fire, which we will really delve into in 2016 on Sunday mornings. When God loves us, He loves us with a flaming passion. And that flaming passion of love is exactly, don't we remember at when your first love, you remember when you fell in love and, you know, how you were so excited just to be around each other. Neither one could do any wrong, period. And that after a few years or 1 year or whatever, you start seeing the change in folks. And many of the psychologists and all would say, well, now, you know, you all are going to have to rekindle the love flame. Well, it is the love of Christ who lights the love of our heart. And when we put out the flame of His Word, when we will read God, as Christians I'm talking about, as Christians, when we read God's Word, each word that God gives us in His Holy Word, and as He speaks to us in our spirit, each word is full of power. And that power is the flame of the Holy Spirit. And God says, trust me, every word that I've given to you is power. And it is a raging power, and it is a fiery power. And you start looking through Scripture, and you'll see how God had used actual literal fire. And remember, how's the world going to end according to Scripture? No more floods. Fire. Fire from heaven will destroy the earth. And since the beginning of record that we have, I'm a firm believer now. And when you study for so long, you understand that what we have in our generation, and we've got writings, you know, back into the 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago, or even before. I haven't studied that for a while, so I'm not sure how far back it goes. Do you remember any first recorded written words that how far back they were? Yeah, okay, about 7,000 years, which would be the creation period of time. But what we don't understand, right now they're even discovering, you know, the lost cities and all of this. They're saying, you know, that place really did exist, and we're witnessing this. There's a lot more that does exist. And God says, though, to us, look, I'm creating you for this time in history. And I'm going to bless you for this time in history. And because that I have touched your life for this period of time in history, I expect you to touch the lives of others. Because we have the one opportunity. We are not given a second chance in this human body. We have the one time that God has called us. And as I read Sunday, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. I got that far on my Sunday morning message, reminding folk, and those of you who are listening now, if you will look at that scripture, the first 12 words in John 3:16, there's 25 total. The first 12 words is about God. The 13th word is Son. And then the final 12 concerns us. So out of that, God says, here's what I want you to know, and my love is in what I'm telling you. There is never a point when God will love us less than He does. There will never be anything you can do in your life to make Him love you more than He does. That's different from our type of love. There are three things we should never forget. This is what I didn't get to go over Sunday. Number one, God has us on his personal list. Now, when we so often read Scripture and we look at he died for the church, and we understand from the Scripture of how much God loved us that he sent Jesus, and when he sent Jesus and whosoever believes in him, that we there's no perishing for us, that he says, because you're on my list, a list of love, and I cannot be taken off that list. When God sealed us with his Holy Spirit, he said, you are sealed by my Holy Spirit, has sealed you for that day, meaning nothing can pull me away from the love of God. What I find sad also in looking at that, people who refuse to accept Christ, who are doomed to eternal separation from the God they said it doesn't exist, in a place that, Scripture calls hell, that those people that go there are no less loved than you and I are. I want you to think about that. God sent his Son, and he sent his Son not to judge, he says, but came to save, to seek and save that which is lost. And he, as people were saying, even in the first century church, well, no, you people out there, you've been saying this, Jesus is coming back, he's coming back. Where is he? Well, 2,000 years later, Jesus has not come back to take the church with him. Now, I say it that way because Jesus never left. When Jesus bodily ascended, what they saw him in a glorified body to ascend to God the Father, he said right then, but I will not leave you comfortless. So we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one God. So therefore, we are so blessed because we are the church generation who's received the Holy Spirit continually within our life. Now, as God's love gives us his Holy Spirit and seals us, we still have freedom of choice. I don't understand, which I never will until I'm out of this body, understand how the sovereign God can give man free will as being a sovereign God. As his love so strong that he says, okay, now that you're saved, Larry, I have called you to preach, but I'm not going to make you preach. I've given a path before you, but I'm not going to make you stay on that path. We follow the Lord because he first loved us, giving us the love to follow him. And it seems like it takes us a whole lifetime. About the time, you know, we get ready to go on and be with the Lord, we say, you know, I'm just catching on to that one verse that I've studied ever since I can remember. And we see how God works and puts our lives together for a purpose. Looking back, you know, things at that particular time when a lot of times, people would question, God doesn't even like me, much less love me, because look what has happened to me. Now, looking back on it and looking at it closely, you'll see how God blessed you through what had happened. God has a purpose for us, and his love is so strong just because we don't catch on to it. God says, that's going to take faith. Trust me. And it's hard for us to do that. But God says, okay, I'll give you my love and I'll give you my trust so you can trust me. So what's our problem? Our problem is God has us on his list. if I made his, and you made God's list when you said yes to Jesus, then we are to act like children of God. We're on his list. 1 John 4:9-10, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. I cannot have eternal life without Christ. My eternal life, your eternal life, is through Christ. Others will say, well, you all preach, you preachers preach that nobody really dies. That's correct. God never created us to die. I mean, our spirit, we are going to be in existence. So eternal life is given to all. Yes, you're right. But there's a difference between the eternal living and eternally dying, but never able to die. I can't remember the verses on that in Revelation. Again, praying, begging to die, but death will not come. We remember some of the old English of, they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but it will not happen. So you have those who refuse the love of Christ eternally dying, but never able to die. When people say, you know, you say, well, how are you feeling? How's things going with you? Many will say, well, I'm breathing. I don't have a life. My life is gone. I'm breathing. Well, Mom says that, you know, because I'm here. But everybody I know is not. And you see that, so we can look at it and say, you know, I understand now, and the older I get, I do, I understand now how we can look at the Lord coming to take us as a blessing. Nothing can happen to us now that God will not turn for the good. That's the promise. Okay, well, what if you don't believe his promise? God is sovereign. God sent his son. Larry, when you accept my son as Lord and Savior, you will never see death. Now, God, thankfully, is not depending on me to keep my end of this. Of, you know, well, you're going to walk a perfect life. The perfect life that the scripture speaks of that is walked is what was walked through Jesus Christ, his son. And because then Jesus conquered all the law, he did not sin. He conquered the fulfillment of that which is old. We call the Old Testament. He fulfilled it all. And then when he comes on the scene, he says, now I have made all things new. And this new thing that I'm giving you is me. Woo! Isn't that a present? I'm giving you my love. Whether you even like me or not, Larry Pete, I love you. Yep, yep. Never change. You know, we love our kids, but we sure do not love their actions a lot of times. Well, good gracious, we don't even love our own actions a lot of times. But doesn't mean we don't love, right? God showed us how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. You like that? This is real love, what the Lord has done. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And God is never surprised by anything. So God knew how we were going to act and what all we would do, and he loved us anyway. Oh, gosh, I just cannot grasp, I guess, even the thought of what kind of love that is. And I know people play, well, that's the agape love, the prayer. I know that. But I'm talking about the type of love to where all of the foolishness that we would end up doing in our lifetime is not going to affect his love for us. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord is not coming, or hasn't come yet. There's people out there lost, folks. And we ought to be on fire for the lost. And hopefully and prayerfully this coming year will be a revival every Sunday. Number two, God keeps us in His continual love. Again, He doesn't pause. We do it. Yeah, son, I liked you yesterday, but I'm not liking you that much today. God says my love is continual. 1 John 4:16, God is love. I don't even try to figure that one out. Our Creator is love, and He is the type of love that you and I don't understand because we are thinking as humans think. God does not see us where we see ourselves. He sees us where He knows we're going to be. So He loves past us. Now look at it this way. Jesus is the one that paid it forward. He paid it forward for us. And the simplicity of it, you Christians say that all you do, I need to do is accept Jesus. Yep. We don't say it. The Lord said it. Yep. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you, this is God speaking, with an everlasting love. Okay, God is love. His love is everlasting. His love is continual. No break in His love at all. Psalm 89:2. God's unfailing love will last forever. Now, you can't second guess everlasting, forever, and continually. I mean, and throughout Scripture we see this. And the prophets of old said, this day is coming. This day is coming. And you and I are living in this day that the prophets said were coming. This is the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, He ushered in the end time. When the church age began, it shut down the ages of the prophets, not deleting them, but fulfilled what they said was going to happen. And then you and I are blessed to be in this generation, and yet we understand that when Jesus comes and He says, okay, this is what's going to happen. We have a whole New Testament that tells us. And the part you don't understand, you know, and there's much of it that we won't understand. But I go back to what I do understand. For God so loved. I might not understand half of what I read or understand why God truly continues to love us. But I tell you this, I know that He does because He said so. Can you imagine living a life without believing? You know, when people said, well, there is no God, wouldn't that have to be a miserable life that they're living? How can you have any kind of peace when you think all it is here? The anarchists believe, you know, everything is going to be right here. We do it now. And, you know, the powerful will take over and we survive. Well, what about when you leave? Well, nothing. It's just death is death. Nothing exists. Man, that's miserable, isn't it? Said, who in the world took your candy bar when you was a kid? Gosh. Number three, the final one. God wants to give us His eternal life. He wants to give us His eternal life. So the flame in us is the Holy Spirit. That's His eternal life for us. You and I, who we are, will never cease to exist. And at the time of the glorification of our body, Jesus said, as I am, so shall you be. When Jesus says, you know, where I am, there you may be also. Well, Jesus gave us the glimpse again of the glorified body. And y'all have heard that. I think that body's cool because I read the book of what all happened to him. But what is it? He's dealing with, I love you this much that I'm going to give you my everlasting life. Now, 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Oh, remember this again. I notice some people forget this one. And they say, boy, I guess that Bible really told them. The scripture is written for, well, let's say the New Testament, for the Christians. The scriptures are the New Testament is the Holy Word of God to the church. He's talking to the church. Well, I thought the lost people were being, the lost people are not going to read it. It's to the church. And you mean all of that sin and all of that? That stuff goes on with Christians? Oh, come on. That guy needs something more than just to be saved on that one, don't he? Sure, folks. Our old nature is viciously fighting our new walk with Christ. And Satan knows he cannot take us out of the Lord's hands because we have his spirit in us. Satan is not going to mess with God, but he will mess with this human existence. And he does. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. What else do we want? God says, this is the way it is. Do you believe it? Yes, I do. Hear his word and believe him who sent me. Remember when Jesus told Peter, Peter, what you said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but only my Father. And that's when he said, this is up on this rock, I will build my church. Peter knew that inside of him, he recognized who Jesus truly was. And Jesus says, the only way you could do that is if my Father told you. So you and I, as human beings, we can never, ever bring an individual under conviction. Conviction is only by the power of Almighty God convicting the spirit. Well, what role do we play? Preaching and teaching the gospel, the word of God, because it is the word of God that's going to touch their heart, and God will reveal himself to them. It is not our job or our ministry to make people accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is our ministry to tell the world the good news and let them know through God's word that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Once you and I put that word out there, those individuals, the blood can never be on our hands, whether they don't believe or not. They refuse and they reject, I'm not going to believe this, I'm not going to believe this. Their blood is not on our hands. Why? Because we spoke the word of God. Well, what do you think about that? Well, now, which one of you am I supposed to pay attention to when you tell me these stories? You've got this denomination or this religion here. You got this religion here. And there you Christians are over here. Which one should I listen to? And my answer to them is none of them. Listen to God's voice inside you. Don't pay any attention to me. Listen to what God says to you. If these people, any of us, have to convince you, then you're not saved. For you must be under conviction, and God will speak to you himself. Now, a lot of folk think we're crazy when we say that. I like being crazy for the Lord, don't you? Yes. And does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. So there again, there's the Lord telling us, you're not going to die. The death can only come into this body. I'm talking about the first death. We don't want any part of that second death, but the first death, that here it is, and a lot of people say, yeah, well, at the end of the age, Jesus will have conquered death. Jesus already conquered death. He already conquered it, folks. We're talking about, or the scripture is, God's word is trying to tell us, at the end of the age, you and I will recognize that conquering. But the death was conquered by his resurrection. You know, and people say, well, the day will come when you will no longer see death. It's already here for Christians. And then when we go to heaven, we will not even be in the presence of the dying again. When our loved ones, our friends die, our family members, and we're seeing the body, and we say, well, yeah, I know he's in a better place or she is. And many times that doesn't comfort us at all. But what should comfort us is this. Christians will never see death. But when Jesus comes for the church, you and I will witness in heaven, or when we leave this world, we will witness never again the death of a friend, bodily, the spiritual body or the spirit. Never again. That's what we will witness after. He's already conquered the death. And there are people who said that he hasn't done that yet. John 6:47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Way too simple, Miss Jean. Way too simple. He who believes has eternal life. Yes, that's exactly the way it is.